Chavis Alvogel's year, women's year, Wednesday afternoon, Shara Bitochen, Chaf Aleph Shvat. Shara Bitochen, Wednesday afternoon, Chaf Aleph Shvat.
Okay, we're in number two on his list of seven things, and Chavis Alvogel's went off a little on a tangent, because he was talking about becoming rich, a subject very dear to our hearts. And he was saying, you know, some people want to become rich because they want kavod. It's not so much the goodies that they can buy, but they want power, they want kavod, and they don't realize they're not really getting kavod. Maybe, very possibly, they're getting bizyonos. And the truth is that the people who think, and the reason people are giving them, one of the reasons that it's a fake kavod is because people are just looking how to get money out of them. Whether it's people or well-meaning people or institutions, they're just looking how to get money out of them. So that's, and then he turns around and he starts sort of giving mussar to those people, and he's saying you're barking up the wrong tree. This is where's your bitachon? You're going to get the money that you're going to get, whether you give, whether you exhibit phoniness, and you, we're talking about insincere, right? If you're insincerely giving kavod to someone who's machzik Torah, and you don't have the motivation of trying to get more money out of him, so that's, you know, he deserves kavod. He's an osei mitzvah cult. It fits into the pasuk in Shmuel that he brought down, ki mechabdaya chabed. So that's the true kavod, we said, you mechabed Hashem through willingly giving away money that you have every right to feel it's yours. I mean, every right, so to speak. It would be a normal thing to think, and you're willing to give it away for a mitzvah, for tzedakah, for achzakas Torah. So then it's okay to give kavod, but the foolish people who are giving him kavod because of, with the motivation of getting even more money out of him, so then they're being foolish. And v'naflu b'shtadlus gedola v'yagir rabba kol yameihem, and they're squandering their time. It's like looking for money in the wrong places. They're doing something that ultimately is valueless because of the yisod that he says in this number two of the seven things, that you know, you'll either get it or you won't get it, and there's not even hishtadlus involved in, you know, more than necessities. V'inichu mashayu chayoven lehishtadl bo. And again, this is the yisod. It's always a question of your priorities. You know, how much of an avera is it to insincerely give kavod to someone? You know, he calls it foolishness, so it's foolish, but it's not Navera, unless you consider it Navera to be foolish.
But maybe just as human beings.
But, yeah. What? I agree to what you said, and I realize I better listen to what you're saying before I agree. What?
You give
Yeah, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about covered up rios. Wait till the guy's poor and you'll see if he gives him kavod. That's how you know. Okay. But now he says something that's more serious. He says, not only are you foolish, but you say, okay, but it's not an avera. But then you always bump up against priorities. Someone says, should I take a second job? Should I do a hishtadlus that is not within the realm of the hishtadlus that I'm obligated to do? So you say, no, it's foolish. You're wasting your time. That's shlav one, step one. It's foolish. It's not going to make a difference. Step two is, what are you doing? What is your priorities? What are you giving up because of this? You're giving up, let's say, family time. You're giving up other responsibilities. To a man, I'd say, you're giving up time that you should be spending learning. So it's worse than foolishness. It's foolishness. And then it might be something spiritually damaging. So that's what he says. Instead, what we're obligated to do their hishtadlus in, lomar elov mehashlim cholus habore asher aleihem, rather than fulfilling their obligations to the Ribbono Shel Olam, lahodos al tovosam etzlam, which is the way the Chavis Olam describes always a person's obligation, is gratitude to Hashem. And then they'll be more likely to get what they want. If they go about it the right way, not the wrong way, then they're more likely to be successful. We don't believe this, but Chavis Olam says it many times for our Shara Bitachon, and we have to believe it, because it's the reality. The reality is that you'll get what you're supposed to get, and you won't get what you're not supposed to get, regardless of your hishtadlus. We're talking above sustenance. It's true about sustenance too, but there the equation is different. There, you're guaranteed to have it, and you're absolutely obligated to do the hishtadlus, because that's the way Hashem gives it to you. Here, you'll either get it or you won't get it, and therefore hishtadlus in that area is a waste of time. Not only is it a waste of time, but you have to look at your life and see, what am I doing? So let's say it's a second job. Let's say for a man it would be in place of learning, or in place of chesed, if that's what he would like to involve himself in. For a woman, it would be more likely either chesed, or taking care of the family, or being in the house. She doesn't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah per se. Maybe it would be davening time. You know, so look at, you have to weigh, it might be worse than foolish. It might be squandering your chance to grow spiritually. But and he says, another, like, if that wasn't enough, he twists the knife one more time. And he says, you're more likely to get what you would like to get if you are spiritually productive than if you're exhibiting just a lack of bitachon and you're, let's say, taking this second job when you don't have to. I mean, well, when do you have to? Sometimes people need second jobs to make ends meet. Then it's part of your normal hishtadlus. And the problem is nowadays, we're living in a very confusing time, because it's much harder to determine what you want and what you need, because our level of need has, the bar is greatly raised. So some of it becomes reality, right? We're not living in one bedroom apartments anymore, with the oven and stove in the front yard, and with one Shabbos dress, if you're rich, one Shabbos dress. We're not living like that anymore. On the other hand, we, and always every succeeding generation gets worse, we're spoiled, especially, you know, most of us are spoiled, and we think things are things we need. If I would say to someone, what do you need a cell phone for? Everybody survived without a cell phone, we'll say 15 years ago, 10 years ago. Now, does it become a need now? I don't know. That's why it's confusing, because maybe it does. Because maybe as society shifts and as it becomes part of society, and now, you know, like air conditioning, you know, or a car, maybe, you know, you must have it. You do need it. You can't go back five generations, you know. You can't go back to the Pony Express. You know, I remember in the little house on the prairie, they got a letter after 6 months that it was written, and they were like, unbelievable. What a nace, this American U.S. Postal Service. 6 months only, and we have the letter already. Now if you tell someone, my push button broke, you have this rotary, you have to wait till for the 9 especially. You live in Ramat Beit Shemesh 999. I can't live like that. I have to wait for the 9 to, like, come on, I'm in a rush. So I don't know. I call it confusing, because at some point it does become a need. So I don't know, you know, so each person is different. And my wife's sister held out till very recently without a cell phone. Didn't have one till 2 years ago. And you know, you can hold out.
It's a shame we've made weddings, right? So, you know, what do you need this for? What do you need this for? What do you need that for? We need it. They tell you how they need it. Okay. So, but you're closer to getting your Tochavis HaLevavos. So again, we don't, it's hard to believe this, but if you live a spiritual life and you take Tochavis HaLevavos seriously and you take Yiddishkeit seriously, he says you're closer to attaining what it is you want with spiritual pursuits rather than what we think will bring the end result in terms of cause and effect. Well, because you're wasting your time, you might be doing something spiritually damaging, and you know
it's like the what is it the horse or whatever they do with the stick and the carrot. The faster the horse runs, the more the carrot goes away. Right, that's what we're like many times. The Chassid Lubavitcher says, "Yeah."
Where would something like conferences and
It seems to me that's an obligation. He's talking about certainly a doctor or someone like that, you know. But really, anybody. I mean, you have to be. You're stealing from your custom. Forget about that. You might lose all your customers, because as soon as someone has an edge, you lose your customers, and that's normal. That's what happens. I don't think that's lack of bitachon. But you're also cheating your customers if they don't abandon you. Now, for a doctor, I know I have a friend that's a doctor. This obligation is overwhelming, because there's so much stuff that's comes. You can't. It's so hard to stay on top of. And he's a general practitioner, so like, but you have to. Yeah, you have to, or else you're not being fair to those who are to your customers. And like I said, you know, you can't say it's a shtadlus to sell horseshoes anymore, right? Okay, having said that, if someone sees that it's taking them away an awful lot from the family, let's say, and it's starting to harm them, then you have to stop and think, this can't be what Hashem wants me to do. Everything boils down to words on Hashem. Hashem wants you to do hishtadlus. He demands you do hishtadlus. And if I'm saying I think it's very kosher to consider that regular hishtadlus, then Hashem wants you to do it. But then you say, well, if it would involve a lack of tznius, or would involve a workplace with not so much separation between men and women, and there's a sort of a kalas rosh there, so then once we look at it's not even a shayla of halacha. Once you look at hishtadlus as something I'm only doing because it's the ratzon Hashem, it becomes easier in a sense to say, well, it can't be this is Ratzon Hashem. Hashem is not forcing me to do things that are improper, that are inappropriate, that are ruining my family life. So that always has to be taken into measurement too. What does one do if it does, and you have to do it? That's a shayla. I can't answer. You know, I can't give rules. It's not Hilchos Challah with 2.2, you know, how much cups of flour. It's not like that. Bitachon is not like that. The more a person is in a service industry, maybe their services are needed very much. And you're serving a public, like he talked about someone who employs a lot of people. But, or if you have a good doctor, or really a good anything. If you find someone competent, hug them. Don't let them go. There's a lot of incompetent people out there. Like I remember, like in Muncie, I found a mechanic, that's a good mechanic. You know, I just gave him my car, even if it wasn't broken, just to keep him in business. Make sure we have a good relationship. You know, to find a good doctor, a good diagnostician who has a good bedside manner and cares about the patient. That's a diamond. So the doctor has to be that too. I have a friend. My friend who's a doctor of a community, and for the longest time he wants to retire and move to Israel, and learn. He can't. Every time he wants to do it, he's that kind of a doctor in a community like that. The community is like sort of dependent on him. Are they really? What would happen if he pick up and leave? No one's really, really indispensable. But it's hard, and he hasn't done it yet. Because every time he wants to do it, he has people with all sorts of the whole community out there. It's very tough. So that's also something, And that could be more of a schus than his personal learning. I don't know. That's a tough shaila. But to help people, and you could be helping them and then stabilizing their families, and then the kids will grow up okay instead of, mixed up because you helped them. Chavis HaBavah says one of the things that are one of the ways we get to Gan Eden, one of the two ways we get to Gan Eden is by helping the rabbin, because then our zechusim increase exponentially. Because if we left our own devices, we would never hack it. So the first way is just that I throw myself upon the mercy of the court. That's the first way. Hashem gives it to us b'chesed. And the second way, he says it to me, mezakeh the rabbin. So say, wait a second, So why doesn't every kollel close up and everybody should go out and teach? No bad news today. Okay. So it's a good question. It needs an answer. First of all, the world is littered with the corpses of people who went out to teach when they still should have worked on themselves. You don't just run out to teach. You have to become something first. So that's one answer. Okay, anyway, that's an issue in itself. But this is going far afield from where we're up to. But that's what he says. So A, it's foolish. B, it's spiritually destructive. And C, you might be like the horse with the carrot on the stick. And the faster you run, the more you're pushing away the carrot. And if you do it the right way, you'll be closer to getting what you want. Physical goodies are come in the wake of spiritual excellence. It's not always like that. Well, we learned about Tzadik Viralo and Rosh HaVatovlo in the last perek. The Yeshi Yimotze, now he says another problem with having money. The Yeshi Yimotze B'chlam Avakshe HaMomon Mishyagia Mimenu Al Tachlis Ta'avosu B'derech HaSibos Asher Zacharnu. Sometimes people become wealthy through their hishtadlus. What? Didn't we just say? No. Hashem wanted them to be wealthy. They say, you're not wealthy because you're a doctor. Let's assume for a moment doctors are wealthy. So you're not wealthy because you're a doctor, but you're supposed to be wealthy, but Hashem doesn't send Santa Claus down the chimney with a bundle of money. Right, it has to happen somehow. So Hashem gave you the tchunas nefesh and the abilities and the desire to be a doctor. So you're taka rich because you're a doctor, but not because in that sense. But Hashem, that was the channel that Hashem used to make you wealthy. He could have made you win a lottery ticket. He could have gotten a Yerusha from a rich uncle. And you could have gone into a profession which taka, it makes sense that it would earn you a lot of money. All the Chavis HaBavah says is that if you're not supposed to earn a lot of money, then going into that profession is not going to help. You have a good income, that's brutto, or netto, whatever it is, that's brutto, right? But then your kid needs orthodontal work, and the car needs a new engine, and you have to move, and they raise the Arnona, and the town decided to cancel you for building the addition. Hashem has many ways to take the money away from you. So you think, that you have a lot of money, and really Hashem is busy deducting the money that you're not supposed to have. So sometimes people will have money through their hishtadlus, and it'll seem to them that it's happening mamish because of their hishtadlus. But he's making a different point now. He says, or even if you have money because you know you had nothing to do with it, you had an inheritance, but you make the mistake of thinking, life. You think, why am I ill? Because of this. Why am I rich? Because I got a Yerusha. But it's just not so, he says. This is what Bitochen is all about. This is why Perek Dalet is putting Bitochen into practice. They're not the reasons. They're not the reasons. What we see as cause and effect is the other way around. The effect is the cause of the cause. It's not the inheritance that made me rich. It's the Zardin that I should be rich that caused me to get an inheritance. We mix up cause and effect if we don't have Hashem in the picture. So he thinks that if not for that, he wouldn't have had it. If I would have not listened to that stock tip, if I would have said yes to the Shatchan 2 days before, then I would be the Kala now, not this other girl. If I would have not made this mistake, and then I wouldn't have been ill. And if, right, we're full of ifs, but this is just, that's why the Baal Bitochen is not stressed. That's the main definition of Bitochen that the Chavis HaLavos gives. What was happened is supposed to happen. The crazier something is, ironically, the more difficult it is to handle, but the more comforting it is, really. It should be more comforting because, you know, Hashem did it. So there's a certain comfort to that. It doesn't make it easier if something's hard to accept. My older sister, her oldest daughter was tragically killed in a car accident many, many years ago, her and her husband. In a crazy way, we'll call it a freak accident. So the only comfort there is, really, is that it's so freak and so crazy that you see the Yad Hashem. So that's not an answer, of course, but we don't have, many times we don't have answers in this world. And we just have to accept that our understanding is limited. But the people that came to be Menachem Oval and tried to say it was random, an accident, that's not that comforting. That's more painful. It's more painful, right? It's more painful. You think it was random, and one car out of 100,000 did what it did? That's not comforting. That's painful. You say Hashem did it, and Hashem has a reason, and there's a cheshbon, and it has a purpose, and it's planned, and it was designed, and it was supposed to happen, and there's a reason, and it fulfills some sort of purpose in the world. So you say, okay, so you can handle that. I saw my sister's a very special person, but I see it was comforting. It's not, we think comfort is in answers. Not always is comfort in answers. That's what I learned from that incident, that comfort is not in answers as much as in feeling that there's a purpose to it. That's his book, this famous guy that wrote a book in the camps. What's his name? Yeah. That's his holy soul. You can handle anything in the world. If anybody didn't read the book, I'm Oris. Like, I know this book. I think I'm a big intellectual. It's like probably everybody in the world read that book. What's the name of it? Man's Search for Meaning. And he was in the camps, and he said, you can handle everything. A man can handle anything. He made a whole psychoanalytical approach based on this yisod. A person can handle anything if he thinks there's meaning to it. He didn't believe in Hashem grada. But if, I don't know, grada. Oh, I want to correct something I said in my rant against Sharon. Don't get too excited. I'm not going to correct it that much. because I said what I said, and of course it's still true. But I guess he will get some schar, like a stone gets schar, if a Jew picks up, if a stone helps build Eretz Yisrael, so the stone gets schar. Hena Kodesh Baruch Hu Mekapeach schar kol bria. The klovim that were lo yechus kalav l'shono, when the Jews went out of Mitzrayim, so they didn't recognize Hashem and make a bechira to do good, but Hashem gives schar if you were the instrument, so he will get schar for being the, he'll get, or rather, a big onesh too. But if he's to be praised for helping build up Eretz Yisrael, it's only like praising the donkeys that carried out the packages for Bnei Yisrael when they went out of Mitzrayim. So you say he did a good thing. But if you don't believe in Hashem, that's for sure still true. And I'm sorry, a Jew has no... I'm not sorry, you have to know that. A Jew has no value other than doing the will of Hashem. There is no other value. No such thing as a good, moral, upright, nice person. Not in the Jew's universe. You could say the words in the dictionary, it would still be true. But in terms of value, that's part of Hashem Echad. There is no value other than Ratzon Hashem. So it could be you're doing Ratzon Hashem without realizing it. So that maybe has, you know, some value, like I said, like the chamorim and the klovim, and Hashem gave the schar to the rock, and Hashem gave the schar to the sand, and Hashem gave the schar, you know. So he, you know, I assume, I don't know whether the onesh of what he did cancels the schar. That's not my judgment to make. I'm not Hashem's accountant, and I'll let Hashem be the accountant for his own books. So that I don't know, but that what I emphatically stated, that it's meaningless, so I take it back. It's as meaningful as the donkeys that carried out the packages for Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. And that's something, you know. Halavai, I should be that donkey, you know. We don't know. Maybe they got a big schar. Maybe they live till, I don't know. Anyway, getting back, yeah.
One.
I knew a Lubavitcher would speak up.
In Hashem, when they beat a man to give a get, it's because he really wants to give it inside, right?
Ah, but if you look in the Rambam, he says, since he's Jewish and he wants to do what's right. Now, I don't know if that Rambam applies to someone that doesn't believe in Hashem. I can tell you that this is a Shaila. I was on a Bez Din in Muncie for many years, and the Shaila came up many times. Does that Rambam, that's just one example, does that Rambam apply to someone that doesn't believe in Hashem? And we asked Rav Eliashiv, we went around to all the biggies asking. It's not clear that it does. If you look in the Rambam, it says, since he's Jewish and he wants to do mitzvahs. So, and that could be in the subconscious. And it's outwardly, he's Michal Shabbos and he doesn't want, you know, but if someone, would the Rambam say it about someone that was left by people in Germany, let's say by his parents, and he grew up thinking he's a guy, and then he found out, oh, you mean, why would he need a get? Okay, so you gotta find out he's Jewish. Okay, but you see my point. I'm not sure if it applies. Now, when Lubavitch goes with their mitzvah tanks and puts tefillin on someone, I'm not, I think they're assuming, I don't know, I would wonder, I wish I could ask the Rebbe, because I don't trust anybody else, and I'm not going to put a petek by his keder, please don't tell me to do that, but I wonder if they would do it if they knew the person didn't believe in Hashem. That's my question. Could be them, and they say, are you Jewish? So they assume, you probably believe in a deity, you probably believe in something. Okay, that's fine. But if they, I wonder if they would do, put on tefillin on someone that's a, no, I'm an atheist. I'm a confirmed atheist. I don't know. Do you know? Wait, what? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know. So it's a good question. Like, it's a question.
Most people don't.
I can ask Gabriel,
actually.
They don't
know what Hashem is. They don't know what they're not believing.
I'm talking about, we're not talking about someone that learned Shaarei Yichud with Rabbi Milinowitz. We're talking about someone that believes in a God and is not an atheist. Uh-huh. Someone that doesn't, Stephen Hawking, I don't know, you know.
Right.
Talking about...
But you say who doesn't believe in Hashem, it has to have learned a lot, know what Hashem is, and then say, don't believe.
That's why people are atheists, not agnostics. because an agnostic means you learned all of that and you don't believe. And an atheist is you don't really know. Okay, absolutely. Well, I knew it was one or the other. But oh, you're right. I don't know. Okay, let's not stop talking about people. Okay, even though I hold you a lot of talk about him. But look, if it's not true about him, so I'm thrilled. That's all. I'm thrilled. Okay, but in all the haspedim on him, I didn't see anybody say what they said about Begin. That he really had a connection to Hashem. He was a believing Jew. Nobody said that about him. He said he liked shawarma, he said. He who mace bishvil shawarma. But they didn't say he's a believing Jew. Paris is not a believing Jew. I'm afraid the Ashkenazic elite, well, not. Begin was great, you know, but. He didn't continue after him. Begin was one of a kind. It's unfortunate. He was from Jabotinsky. Like, he was a different. He wasn't from the Zionist Labor Party. He was on a different Mahalach. And Shamir wasn't Begin. Shamir never said, Eretz Yisrael belongs to us, or Baruch Hashem, or Bezos Hashem. Shamir talked about security. So look where it brought us 40 years later, 50 years later, look where it brought us. Okay, anyway, it's sad, you know, so that's why everybody has to join Manigut Yehudit. Okay, so the person thinks, Umshabech Asibim Mibalade Hamasabev. And now the Chavis HaLovis, you know, I don't know why I gave the example of the horse with the carrot. Chavis HaLovis has his own example, it's a beautiful example. Uvamehu Dome Bezeh, someone that does something inappropriate because he wants to make money. He's like a person, Lodom Shuba Midbar. Person's very thirsty. He's in the Midbar. He's lost in the desert. Tichbud Alevat Soma, and he's Pashat Chalashing from thirst. And he finds water finally, but the water is putrid. So he doesn't know, this is what actually the Chafetz Chaim says this about the water at Mara, that a little distance away there was going to be Shtei Mesrei Eunus Mayim V'Shevim Tmarim, but they were at Mara and to them the world like was at an end and there's no water. But Yilonu Ha'am Al Moshe, so this person in the Midbar has a bar, he finds a bar of putrid water, the Samach Bem Simcha Gedola, he's like on top of the world, and he fills himself up with that putrid water. It makes him a little sick, but at least he's not going to get dehydrated and just, you know, pass out and die. Ma'at, you go a little more, he finds clear spring water, fresh kishmaka water. Now he can't drink anymore because he's full. Same too as a person that is supposed to get rich. He's supposed to have money. But he, by choosing to do it in an inappropriate way, he's like the person, because he's so, he doesn't have bitachon, like the person who sees the putrid water, and he drinks his fill of that, because he doesn't want to, he's convinced he's going to die of thirst if he doesn't drink this water. He doesn't know that half a mile away. So the person, that's how we are, he says. The person that cuts corners in spiritual matters in order to get wealth is going to be wealthy anyway. All he did was drink putrid water. So he'll be wealthy because Hashem said he should be wealthy. But look what he did. He did it in a crazy way. He did it in a way that's spiritually damaging. Now he attributes his wealth to that. But he's really like this person in the Midbar that drank putrid water to quench his thirst. He got money, and apparently because of this reason, a believing Jew believes, if you understand what bitachon is, that if you could imagine this Siba not being there, would have been wealthy anyway. So that it doesn't have to be, oh, you mean if I wouldn't have become a doctor, I would have you know, yeah, you would have had a different life, and you would have been wealthy in that life too. Your life takes a certain maslul because Hashem wants you to be wealthy. So if it were not for that maslul, it would be a different maslul. But to say I'm going to cheat my customers to become wealthy, or I'm going to work in a place that renders me dysfunctional in my main obligations to a family, let's say, or my obligations to Hashem, that's counterproductive. And it's silly and counterproductive. Silly, wrong, and counterproductive. Those are the three things he says. It's silly because you're wasting your efforts. It's wrong because you're shortchanging your spiritual life. And it's counterproductive because you're drinking putrid water and you could have had it in a kabbalistic way. You're supposed to have money, you'll have money anyway. Not. Okay. Now, he's still in number two. He's going on to another aspect of number two, which is earning money above sustenance level. He says, remember, Perek Dalet is teaching you how to think. It's screwing our heads on straight. So he says, what do you do now if you have a store and you have a slow month, or you have customers, and you know this month is slow, and you didn't earn enough money this month. Maybe this month you're not making ends meet, or this week. So he says, don't panic. He says, the Baal Bitachon doesn't panic. A regular person will panic. But I'll be talking, doesn't panic. He says, you know, I'll get what I'm supposed to get. If I'm having a slow month this month, I'll have a packed month next month. I'll have what I'm supposed to have. Umimasha roy lebotech alokim betirfok sheyasake vimenu aterif yomen hayomim. It's slow. He doesn't have the mazonos he needs. Sheyoma beliba, what do I think? Hashem went to sleep, chas v'shalom. Hashem all of a sudden is rendered incapable of giving me. He, the power that brought me into this world, into existence, at a specific time, the Eis Yodua, a specific moment, they write down the time, the clock time, how many seconds. You were born when you were born. You were conceived when you were conceived. Everything happens at the moment it's supposed to. He stresses this also, if you can think back to Perek Gimel, when he's saying over the seven things of Perek Beis, so the last thing is that everything has a Gevul Yodua. Everything happens, nothing happens haphazardly, nothing happens without a Cheshbon, down to the minute that it happens. So the one who brought me out into this world, what is the Chavis HaLavos telling us to do? He's teaching us how to think. A Baal Bitachon thinks this is from Hashem. The worst thing you can do is say it's random. It's January. People don't buy linens. I think they buy linens in January or something like that. I don't know. Something with linens in January. Either yes or no. In America, I think they were always on sale in January. I don't know why. Because white? Maybe because white. I don't know.
You have to buy something sometime.
Yeah, so the point is, he says, his yesod is, if you're having it slow, don't think it's random, and don't look for reasons. I didn't advertise this month. Oh, that's why, because I didn't advertise. But then now I'll say, unless advertising is normal hishtadlus, and you neglected that, then you're posheya, then you taka did wrong. But, you know, you skipped 1 month's RBS views. I would assume. So remember that there's a Hashem running the world. This is his point. He's not giving Musar. He's teaching a Baal Bitachon how to think. Because he jumps to birth. He says, Hashem who brought me out into the world at a specific time and place and century and to the parents that I had. I mean, I can go on and on.
Right.
So Hashem now has seen fit to give me a little kick in the pants, and now Parnos is not so simple this month. And he, you know, he has a cheshbon. It's going to be, maybe it's going to be for 10 days, maybe it's going to be for a month, maybe it's going to be for 2 months. L'daitoy mashehu tovli. This is, but Hashem is only good. Hashem loves me more than I love myself. Hashem doesn't mess me up. So what's happening is happening. So maybe you'll check, again, you want to have the whole picture, you'll check that you're doing proper hishtadlus. Number one's hishtadlus, not number two. Number two's hishtadlus is a waste of time and spiritually damaging, etc. Number one's, you'll check you're doing hishtadlus, normal, the way you're supposed to. After that, you think, wait a second, Hashem, maybe you go back to Shar HaBechina. Maybe instead of learning Shar HaBitachon, you learn Shar HaBechina. That's really what he's saying. Hashem can do this and this and that. He can give me parnosa this month also. He gave me parnosa last month. It's all thinking about Hashem as a reality in our lives. So he's saying, Hashem knows what's good for me, and it's good. Why is it good for me now? We don't always know. Maybe we rarely know. Maybe we can think of people want answers. I say, you want answers, go to Chaim Kanievsky, don't come to me. But we don't know. Some say, oh, it's a wake-up call. Maybe. Some people get woken up even though they're not asleep, and they want to know why they're getting so many wake-up calls. So that's not always a good answer. The best answer is we don't know. Unfortunately, that's the best answer. The reason it's unfortunate is because the human being is wired with seichel, and is wired to understand and to know and to figure out things. And Hashem made us inquisitive, and Hashem made us creative. Hashem gave us the brain is like an unbelievable machine. It's so small relative to what it's capable of doing. So to say to a person, stuff up your brain, is very, very difficult. It's a tremendous nisayon. But that's the nisayon that we learn about in Shar HaKaniyah. That's Shar HaKaniyah. Because Hashem, we're as brilliant as we could possibly be, our vision and understanding and knowledge is so limited. It's like, it's as limited as a baby undergoing a hospital procedure. So what does the baby understand about the hospital procedure? Nothing. Baby just knows that it hurts and that it's not home. So we're all babies. That's it's hard for a grown adult, especially such intelligent women like yourselves. You know, you're intelligent enough to come to the shir. I keep saying that, so I guess you keep coming back. What am I going to do if I walk in one day and it's empty? So Hashem just wants me to have a slow month. That's all. It's hard. It's very hard. But that's what he wants. He wants you to say, Hashem is doing this, Hashem. He wants you to think of Hashem. You're having a slow month. Don't right away run to make a full page ad. Until now, a half a page ad was good enough. Don't run to stay open another 2 hours at night. Don't panic. A Baal Bitochen doesn't panic. Says Hashem knows what he's doing. Hashem's running my life. Look what he's doing for me. Look what he's done for me. And all these thoughts, and he makes, and there's no end. You can say he makes it rain. It's unbelievable, and you can think about the whole Shara Bechina. And so he has seen fit to give me a painful month. Now, we'd like to know the reason why, and it's very painful when we don't. But that's also part of being a Jew. We don't, because ki lo machshavol sayim machshavol seichem, lo darchechem durachoy, ki asher gavu shemayim me'oretz, ken gavu. Right, we don't know. Hashem is looking at the whole world, the whole universe, and all of history, and all the things that have to happen, and that, you know, so we're so small. That's really, I could say in one sentence, and we can learn the whole Shar HaKaniyah. Shar HaKaniyah means to submit to Hashem. To submit to Hashem, to say we are nothing. It's not like Hashem can pick up a 20-pound package, and we can only pick up a 10-pound package. Like you said, who said it here, we don't really even understand what Hashem is. The truth. So that's what we have to learn. Shar HaYichud, and maybe Shar HaKaniyah, or really Shar HaBechina. Shar HaBechina, maybe, but you know, Rabbi Avigdor Miller, they're putting out his books on Chodesh Halvavos based on his tapes. Someone's basically transcribing the tapes. Doing a not bad job, not bad at all. And they did Shar the Hakdama to the Sefer, and Shar HaBechina, and in another February 1st, Shara Vodas Elokim is going to be out in the stores. Or February 7th. coming back. No. They are very... The Rabbi Miller's works belong to his sons who run a yeshiva and support a yeshiva based on the income of his, and that's why he wrote a tzava, that any income produced by his classes and works should be for the yeshiva. His son has a yeshiva in Brooklyn. So, yeah, that's good.